We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all works in your hands. You have a plan for our lives. A purpose. A future. You promise you won't leave us. And when we face the tests and trials, you are there. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Welcome once again. Pastor Greg is not with us this morning. He is at his uncle's funeral, so please be in prayer for Pastor Greg and his family. He asked me to fill in, and I was happy to do it. If you're new here, my name is Jacob. I'm the youth pastor here. Earlier, that was my lovely wife that was opening the service, and it's just so good to be in the house of the Lord. I guess you've already figured out what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the potter and the clay, and I have some volunteers, and I'm going to ask them to go ahead, and they're going to pass out some Play-Doh. Okay, I mentioned before that I'm a youth pastor, so I'm not going to get up here and try to pretend that I'm something that I'm not. I'm just going to do what I do, and so I'm going to let some of you play with Play-Doh this morning. Does that sound good? All right. If you're getting this piece of Play-Doh, just hang on to it. I'll give you some instructions in a little while. I've even got some up here. How many of you guys enjoyed playing with Play-Doh as a child? Yeah? Yeah. I mean, you just play it in the dirt. I mean, that's kind of just add water, right? I mean, you got Play-Doh. There you go. I don't know how my children manage to do this, but they can open up a thing of Play-Doh and break it into 1,000 pieces and spread it in the carpet. And it's just amazing to me that the mess that they create with Play-Doh. It's crazy. And then it gets hard and it's really hard to clean up. But Play-Doh is a lot of fun. I would say that I was a creative child. I enjoyed creating things and tearing things apart, breaking things, seeing how things worked. That's just kind of how my mind works. Some of you in here, you may say the same thing. I'm creative. Raise your hand if you're creative. You think you're creative. Raise your hand if you're like, I am not creative. Okay, we got a lot of not creative people in here. That's okay. I'm going to maybe open your mind, or maybe God's word will open your mind to something a little different this morning. In Genesis 1:27, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. The image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. It says created. God created you. The title of my message this morning is Created. You were, touch somebody and say, you are created. You are not an accident. You did not happen by chance. You did not evolve from an ape. You are not a mistake. You are not anything else but created, and you are part of an intricate process that was created by God. We're going to talk a little bit about this process. My first point that I would like to make this morning is that we are the clay. Isaiah 64 and 8 says, "And yet, O Lord, you are the Father, we are the clay, and you are the potter. We all are formed by your hand." That's Isaiah 64, verse 8. The idea is that we are no more capable of molding ourselves than a blob of clay. We depend, as Christians, we depend on the potter. We depend on God to make us into what we ought to be. This Play-Doh that I'm holding in my hand, it cannot form itself. I can tell it what to do. Say, Play-Doh, become a man. Play-Doh, become a snake. Play-Doh, become a ball. Oh, it might be able to do that. But it's just going to be a blob of Play-Doh. I can't tell it what to do. It has to be formed. It has to go through a process of being molded and formed. And I guess to apply this to life, in life we try to go around and sometimes we often do nothing and just hoping that we'll be formed into what God wants us to be. And we try to go through life and we wonder why, you know, we're not satisfied. We wonder why that we feel empty and like we're not in the right place and we're not molded into who we were intended to be. And I'm here to encourage you this morning that we need the potter in our lives. We need God in our lives. We need him to shape us and to form us. And without God, we are nothing more than unformed clay. In Genesis 2 and 7, it says this, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." God formed you from the dirt. Essentially, you're a bag of dirt. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're a dirt bag." You're a bag of dirt. God created you from the clay of the earth, the dust of the ground. Now, that's kind of a joke, but we're dirt bags with a purpose. We have a purpose in this life. God formed you. God created you for a purpose. Now, in this video that we watched earlier, they were putting the pottery, they were putting their artwork in fire. And there's a process that they put this pottery through where they put it in extreme heat. And I have a piece of pottery here. This was given to me when we were Vintage Youth Ministries by one of our students, Tyler Collier, created this at school, and she told me all about it. She formed it. And she designed it, and then they put it under extreme heat. And when they put it under the extreme heat, it goes through some permanent changes, including the increased strength. The strength of this increased significantly. When before you could probably just take it and just break it up and mold it again. It went through some permanent changes, and it's nice and hard, and it's a usable instrument because it's been through this process. We use this over in the youth area. We put coffee creamer in it. And so once a blob of clay that is now that was formable and pliable is now hard and is a usable instrument. And I'm going to apply this and use scripture to do this. In Romans 5, 3 through 5, it says this. Now this goes against what we feel and what our natural desires are and what our natural attitude is. It says this, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength. I underlined that word, strength of character. And character strengthens, I underlined strengthens, our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. So we go through problems, we go through trials in life, we're molded by life events, things that we run into, the good times, the bad times, but this verse tells me that if we endure our trials and our problems, then we can come out stronger. God can use our life circumstances, no matter what they are, for us to come out stronger. Praise be to God. That is the why. That is why we can rejoice. Sometimes that is really hard to do because we're caught up in the moment and we say, why me? And why am I going through this? And why are they doing that? And we don't understand, but we can rejoice when we face these problems. So if you're going through a tough time, the Bible tells us that you can rejoice because you know that when it's all said and done, you're going to come out much stronger, and God is going to be right by your side. Some of you guys may remember this song. I'm not going to try to sing it this morning, but it goes like this. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. You guys know this? Okay. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. What's that from? Hee-haw. All right. Got some Hee Haw fans in here. That is sometimes the song that we sing. Woe is me. Oh my goodness. Can't believe this is happening to me. And that is the song that we sometimes wear on our face. That's the song that we sometimes speak to our families, the people that are closest to us. That's the song that we sometimes act like, and we're all guilty. I'm guilty. If it weren't an issue in life, then the Bible would not tell us to rejoice. The Bible would not give us instructions to rejoice during our problems because naturally we want to complain. Naturally we want to sing that song, gloom, despair, and agony on me. You see, when things in life aren't going your way, when you're going through the fire, when you're bogged down with work, when you have bills up to your neck, and when things aren't just, they're not going exactly as you hoped, we can rejoice. You see, Satan would love to take those things in life and get you to sing that song. He would like to see you not come through the fire. He would like to see you just stay in there and in the heat and just burn up and ha, 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 you're going to burn up. But you see, we're made to come through the fire and come through the fire stronger. God has not left you. You see, just like the potter is standing right outside of the kiln or the oven where the pottery is being heated up, he's monitoring it the whole time. He knows exactly how long it needs to stay in there. He knows exactly what it can endure and what it cannot endure. And then when the time is right, he's going to pull it out, and it's going to be an instrument for God. You are one of a kind. You are God's masterpiece. He is not going to leave you. He is not going to forsake you. And I would love to tell you that if you give your life to Christ, it's going to be a skate in the park and you're not going to have any problems. But you see, when you give your life to Christ, God's word gives us the strength that we need to endure our problems. God gives us the strength and the wisdom that we need to go through to the other side, because problems are going to come. That's just life. Life happens. Like Forrest Gump says, it happens, right? When you give your life to Christ, this is what happens. He wipes away every sin as though it never happened. He gives us a fresh start. He takes bags of dirt like me, and he molds us into beautiful vessels, and vessels with a purpose. God's promise to us is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Touch somebody and say, you have a purpose. The next thing I would like to bring to our attention is that we are created to create. And I say that because of this verse. In Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created human beings in his own image. Some translations say likeness. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God is a creative God. God created you. And the Bible says that he created us in his likeness. In the beginning, God created. And he didn't make junk. He didn't make junk. You see, you are beautiful. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't just stop with being created. He created a whole system that continues to create. Every spring, new flowers blossom. New leaves begin to grow. New trees and plants begin to grow. You see, God brings about new life. This is the system that God created. You are created to create. In Psalms 89:11, it says, the heavens are yours and the earth is yours. Everything in the world is yours. You created it. You are created to create. I had you raise your hand if you're created or not, and I'm going to get to that point. A lot of you said that you were not creative. You're like, no, not me. Well, guess what? It took a creative mind for you to even come up with that opinion. You thought that thought. I mean, if you just think about it, the fact that I'm thinking about it really just blows my mind. We are creative. We create things in life, whether we know it or not. We create babies. That's biblical. The Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. What a cool God. Thank God that he didn't make us totally helpless. Right? Amen? Thank God that he gave us thumbs and fingers and toes and arms and a body that functions and that it can create. We build structures with our own hands. We write books. We draw pictures. We create movies. We create skits. We music, like you saw up here this morning. We say things like, look at what I've made and see what I've created. In the likeness of God, you are created. You are a created. Now, earlier we had some folks pass out Play-Doh. Hold up your Play-Doh real quick. Okay. I'm looking. It looks like some of you guys have created some things. Some of you created a ball, a nice round ball. Who created a nice round ball? Yeah. What did you create? Did you create something over here?
It's supposed to be a flower vase, but it's a flower vase.
Yeah, he created a flower pot or something like that. Francis created a pancake. Oh, it's a face. A face. Anybody else? Did you create anything? Is that a man? A cross. Sorry, I don't have good eyes. Another cross. Awesome. Now, let me just tell you this. I'm making a point here. I did not have to tell you to create something. All that I did was give you the Play-Doh. And you automatically started creating something. Some of you may not have created anything, but at random, you guys all did something. And that's proven my point. I did this with the teenagers, and they did the exact same thing. My point is that God created you to have a brilliant mind. God gave you a creative mind. You are created to create. It's just natural. Some of you created a little snake. Some people create a little small person. The fact that you created something tells me that you have a creative mind. But you see, without specific instructions, you guys just all created something random. Just something at random. You just molded something at random. And see, that's exactly what happens in our walk with Christ. And in this walk in life, without detailed instructions, we begin to just create things in our life at random, without detailed instructions, without specific instructions. And we do this on our own. Sometimes we create good things. Sometimes we create bad things. Sometimes we create no things. But you see, we need a plan. We need detailed instructions. God's word is that detailed plan. And see, God's word gives us detailed instructions for our family dynamics. It gives us detailed instructions on what to create in life. See, as disciples, as Christians, your number one thing to do is to make disciples. That's the Great Commission. See, disciples are made to create more disciples. See, you'll find this type of stuff in God's word. And see, when we don't read God's word, when we don't know what God's word says, we're just living life at random, trying to mold our lives, trying to just do things at random and hope that it works out. And I'm here to tell you, I'm here to encourage you today that there is a plan, that God has a purpose, and we'll find that purpose in this book. God gives us instructions. I have a question for you today. This is rhetorical. What are you creating in life? See, God created us to do good works a long time ago. That was his plan, that we would do good works. We don't always do good, though. We often use our creative juices in the wrong way. We sometimes create enemies. We sometimes create bad reputations. We sometimes create walls between relationships and friendships. Sometimes we create idols in our life. Sometimes we're creating bad habits. Sometimes we create animosity and tension within the people that are closest to us. See, God has the things that he wants us to create. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. And we can find those things in his word. The big problem is that we leave God out of the picture sometimes. And so because of that information, because I know that, I looked up some verses. And these are some verses to encourage you to go to the Creator. In Matthew 6 and 33, it says this. It says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need." He is the first person that we need to go to for help. Above all else, he is the first person that we need to go to, the first thing that we need to do. In Psalms 119, 72 through 74, it says this, "Your instructions are more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver. You made me, you created me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands. May all who fear you find in me a cause for joy, for I have put my hope in your word." What David was saying here was, "I know that your ways are better than mine. You created me. Now, God, give me the help to follow your ways. Lord, give me some sense. David was a king, created. He was created by God. He was called by God. And he knew that he couldn't go through life and do this without God. David did some terrible things in life. He murdered. He committed adultery. He was a liar. He did some terrible things. And he realizes that God is the only one that can turn his life around. God is the only one that can bring him through this fire and use him for his purpose. We need to seek God. In all reality, we need God. Just to sum it up, we need God. He should be the first person we go to for help. Sometimes we leave the Creator out of the picture, but today is a new day. God's word tells us that his mercies are new every morning. God created life that creates more life. And I'm here to tell you today that you can have new life. You can have new life. God's plan of salvation goes like this. Brittany, if you could come to the piano, please. And every head bowed, every eyes closed. The Bible says that there is only one way to heaven. In John 14:6, it says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. Good works cannot save you. You can mold a life that looks pretty, and it's the way you think you want it, but if it's without God, then it's wrong. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and we need to get on board with his specific details. Ephesians 2:8-9 says this, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. The first thing that we need to do is we need to admit that we are a sinner. And in Romans 3:23, it says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of the glorious standard. In Acts 3:19, it says, be willing to turn from your sin. We have to repent. For everyone has sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. Acts 3:19 says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. The next thing we need to do is believe that Jesus Christ died for us and that he was buried and he rose from the dead. Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. Number 4, through prayer, we invite Jesus into our life to become our personal Savior. Romans 10:10 says, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. It is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. And the last thing, salvation is for everyone. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Salvation is for you. This plan that I'm talking about, these specific instructions that I'm talking about, they're for you. If you have not invited Jesus Christ into your heart, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to do that. God has a plan for your life. Maybe you're here and you say, I've grown up in church and I've teethed on the pews and I know what's right, but I have not lived according to God's plan and purpose. Today is the day because his mercies are new every morning. Today is the day to have new life. It may not be easy. It may be hard. You may walk through the fire, but God will bring you through it. And in the end, you will come out stronger. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you breathed life into a bag of dirt like me. You breathed life into our nostrils. And Lord, you have a plan. You have a purpose. Lord, I pray that we would get focused and keep our eye on the prize, our eye on the goal, and we wouldn't go through life at random trying to mold ourselves to the life that we would like to have for ourselves. But Lord, that we would live according to your plan and your purpose. Lord, if there's anybody in here today that does not know you, if there's anybody listening through our podcast or online, Heavenly Father, that does not know you today, Lord, I pray that they give their life to you today. Today is the day of salvation. Lord, we ask this in your precious holy name, the name of Jesus. Amen.